Thank you again for each and every one. Pray for those who are coming. Watch, oh Lord God, keep us safe even as we just enter from the parking lot into the building. But Lord God, again, we ask not just for ourselves, but we ask, Lord, that you may be glorified in all that we say and do. So thank you, Lord God, for bringing us together again. Be with us this week. Lord, may we truly glorify you and lift up the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Welcome, church family. Let's give all this worship to him. It belongs to him.
Water, you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Cause our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you.
Here we go, church family.
Cause our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Then what could stand against? Is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? what could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
Amen, amen. All right, before we start the next song, turn to your neighbor next to you and tell them good morning.
Good morning.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer.
Come on, give a clap to the Lord God Almighty. Amen.
Amen.
Worship the Lord. Give Him praise. Open your heart out to Him. Let the Lord just move and stir us. Let the Lord spur us on. We do not lead, we follow. For God's church follows the Lord and Savior. So free your minds. Let your minds be of Christ. Give your heart away, not to everyone, but to the Lord. And He will designate how we give our lives to others. Let our lives be all about Him. Surrender. Surrender to Jesus. This week, Lord, I give you my life.
I give you my life. I give you my trust. Jesus, you are my God. You are enough.
Tell it to Him.
My heart is yours. My heart is yours. I take it all. I take it all. My life in your hands. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands.
Continue to open your heart to the Lord and tell Him that you surrender your life to Him.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give.
Father God, as you heard our voices, oh Lord, I pray you hear our hearts, God. I pray, Lord, our hearts, Lord, is good. But Lord, you know our hearts, there's struggles that we face. And you know our hearts, there's joys that we give back to you in praise. But God, remind us that's what you want. You want our hearts, oh God. And you open our hearts, you soften our hearts by knowing you and knowing your son, Jesus. So Lord God, continue to speak to us, Lord, directly as we pray, as we read your word, as we among other Christians and even the things of life. You are always moving. And Father, remind us why we are here. The church. Why we hear, God, the agenda of the church. And Father, to do your will, to please you and honor you. And the way is by sharing with the world, the rest of the world, Jesus. And Lord, not something that we memorize, but a relationship that we know. That Jesus will lead us to those, Lord God, that want, that you want. That those will say yes to Jesus. Father God, forgive me of my sins. I believe in Jesus. Lord God, let us hold to that words that we say. All to Jesus, I surrender. Surrender, oh God. That's a word we don't like using because we like to lead and be in charge. And yet Jesus submitted his life to you. Lord, you are God of order, not disorder. Everything is held by your hands. So lead us, oh God. Draw us closer to you. Help us, encourage us to build that relationship with Jesus. He who has the Son has the Father. He who loves the Son, the Father will also love him. And we, Jesus and the Father, will come and make our home in us. Lord, it is not what we do. It is who we belong to, who we commit and surrender. Not on a Sunday, but the rest of our lives. Oh, have your way, oh God. For you are worthy of praise. Because no matter where we are, you are with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all people said, amen.
Good morning. Welcome to church. We want to first welcome our guests and our visitors. Thank you for being with us today. Did everyone receive a newsletter when they came in? If you haven't, if you need one, just go ahead and raise your hand and the ushers will bring one down for you. So announcements this morning are few. One of the main ones that I wanted to point out was tonight. For tonight at 6 o'clock, we are going to be having a meeting, and it's called a vision meeting for our church. So please, we are asking for your attendance tonight to come and share in the vision that the staff and pastor is going to be bringing forward to us, and then most of all of how you can participate in this body. So that's at 6 o'clock tonight. Today, the Children's Sunday School has been postponed, so no Children's Sunday School today. Paul's Sunday School is also postponed. Neil, I believe, is still meeting, and the youth is still meeting today, too. So just wanted to inform you of that. So this past Sunday, we did have a presentation from the Two Thirds World Network. And I know Pastor wants to talk on that, so I just want to bring him up and let him talk about what happened on Friday night. Thank you. Sunday night, I'm sorry.
I was kind of wondering what happened on Friday night. Two Thirds World is an organization that is really doing an awful lot. Sunday night, we had the privilege of having the team speak to us and shared much of what was going on their recent mission trip. But we'd like for you to experience it a bit. So we have a video that the team produced. So, Clarice, if you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Two Thirds World is an organization that is really the heartbeat of Vince Bagoyle. Vince is sitting over here trying to hide behind the posts. But Vince, the next team goes out when? October? October. So they try to go twice a year. And so if God places it on your heart to give, to support this ministry, we encourage you to do that. If God places it on your heart to go, we ask that you talk to Vince. And, you know, I know this as a fact. You need to depend on God's call, not your pocketbook, as you consent to go on one of these trips. Because we serve a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he can do great and mighty things. Money will not be your problem. Your heart is going to be the problem. So you need to get your heart right with God so that he can lead you. And dear people, please, it'll be a blessing that you'll never forget. So I want to encourage you to do that. Also, you notice that today's a little bit unusual. If you were on Haleakala, I bet there'd be snow up there. because it is cold today, isn't it? Besides being cold, it's wet. And so we could not park you in the overflow parking area because the mud would overflow on you. So we have cars that are double parked now in the parking lot. So we want to ask you to, as we end and as we depart from this place, we want you to ask that you be a little bit patient with us so that we can get people out safely, okay? Maybe in the days, weeks to come, we'll get some of this under control. But property is not the problem. Making it solid is the problem, okay? So thank you for your cooperation in this. And you know that there are several things that are being canceled for today in the next hour. So if you have questions, you can always talk to us, okay, about what's canceled, what's still going on. In our church, we have a process of bringing people into membership. And in order to be a member, they have to go through a class. So one person that has recently gone through the class is John Rich. John, sitting over here, is now a member of the church. So one of the things that we do is we sit and talk with people so to find out their story and to also get us all on the same page so we understand philosophy of ministry that this church carries on, the beliefs of our church, and how we do business as a church. So John went through all of that, and what stirred my heart, John, you've had quite a few medical problems. I think you've had quite a few surgeries. He's had so many surgeries, I bet some doctors have perfected their procedures because of you. But John, in spite of all the medical difficulties that he has, he keeps on loving the Lord and serving the Lord, and he does not let anything stop him from serving the Lord. So this is a man you want to get to know, okay? So we're going to try to be more faithful in recognizing those who recently come to join the church. So, John, welcome. God bless you. Okay. We also have different things that we need to get done. So there's some sign-up sheets in the back. And I've talked to a couple of guys, but I want to encourage the men. Men, we are not doing a good job. I'm talking to us men. The women have signed up to clean the church, but men have not. My name is there on one team. And the two guys that I've talked to, please put your name there too, because I don't want to clean the church by myself. But I want a team of men to show that men are not being left out. We're going to do our part. So we're looking at being a part, a men's team, being a part of the rotational. So maybe once every 4 or 5 weeks will be our turn. And so men, if you don't sign up, then I got to do it by myself. So please help me, okay? This morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles to, again, 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be in the second chapter today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. How many of you feel blessed that God has chosen you to be a part of his team? Anybody? Okay, a few of you. Some of you still trying to figure that out. Some of you may feel like, better if he just left me off his team. No, I hope that's not true. I hope you're feeling blessed that he has chosen you to be a part of his team. He has chosen you and he has gifted you with some things that, dear people, are a real blessing. So the gifts that God blesses us with is what I want us to focus on. We're looking at just verses 4 through 6 this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or from anyone else. I want us to focus on these passages of Scripture because I think they share something really important with us. The first thing that I see here is that it is an honor to be an approved messenger of God. The honor of being an approved messenger of God. Verse 4 says, "For we speak as messengers approved by God." You know what approved kind of indicates to me? You've been checked out and you've been stamped with God's approval. He says, you're good. We got this rat lung disease going on right now, right? How many of you have seen the stamped approved on the produce that we are now selling? Stamped approved, guaranteed, no rat lung disease. Haven't seen it yet? Looking forward to the day when you will see it. Stamped approved. No rat lung disease. No disease at all. Guaranteed health. How many of you want to see that stamp? Okay. Well, how many of you want to see stamped approved by God? He is approved. That's what I see in this passage. It says, "For we speak as messengers approved by God." There is blessing in being an approved messenger of God. You see, the message and the messenger are approved by God. Not only the messenger, but the message that we speak are approved by God. Okay? Now, I need to say this to you. As long as you're speaking the message of God, it's approved. If you're speaking something else, then it's not approved. We stick really closely to what the Bible has to say. And therefore, I believe with all my heart that there is only one way to the Father in heaven. Only one way. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me." So I don't really apologize for the message. I apologize if it brings you grief, but I will not change the message. Jesus is the only way. There is no other philosophy, no other religion, no other person in this world that can bring you to faith in God that leads to heaven except Jesus Christ. Now, if you claim to be his messenger, but you're preaching a different message, you have disqualified yourself as a messenger, and the message is disqualified. Because we need to speak what God gives us the authority to speak. And so the message and the messenger are approved by God. But we got to do it his way. You know, there's a passage of Scripture that I hold very dear to my heart. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." You guys know who the thief is? Who's the thief? Satan. Okay? You don't want to be on his team, because that passage of scripture says he's going to steal, kill, and destroy everything you have. You don't want to be on his team. But the second part of that verse says, but I have come that you might have life and that you would have it abundantly. That shows two different paths, right? The path of Satan, who brings destruction. He steals from you. He just ruins everything. Satan is a deceiver and a destructor. But Jesus comes that you might have life and that you have it abundantly. In order to have the abundant life, you got to do it his way, not our way. How many of you have ever tried to do God's will, what you thought was God's will, your way? Any of you tried? I have. How many of you have succeeded doing God's will your way? I haven't. Anybody succeed? God's will needs to be done his way. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. I have gotten myself into a lot of trouble trying to do it my way. We've got to do it his way. So the message and the messenger are approved by God. But B, know this, the message never changes. The message never changes. We might have to change some methods, but the message never changes. Okay? Like, for instance, when we were in the cafeteria at Wailuku Elementary School, I'd love preaching from the floor. But when we came over here to this place, I almost got booted out because I said I want to preach from the floor. And they said, no, Steve, you got to preach from the stage. They didn't hear the message that I preached about Zacchaeus. The message in Zacchaeus was that he was too short. I am short, but I'm not too short. But in order to prevent a rebellion from happening, I had to come preach from here. Okay? See? I told you. So the message remains the same, but the method is changed, because now I got to speak down to you rather than speaking up to you. I was honoring you by staying on the floor because I was speaking up to you. But the method might have to change, but the message should never, ever change. Let me read to you what was in my study Bible. In trying to persuade people, we may be tempted to alter our position just enough to make our message more palatable or to use flattery or praise. Paul never changed his message to make it more acceptable, but he did tailor his methods to each audience. Although our presentation must be altered to be appropriate to the situation, the truth of the good news must never be compromised. The truth of the good news should never be compromised. So, the message will always remain the same. Methods might change. The next point, C. Not only is the message and the messenger approved by God, and the message never changed, but approved messengers seek to please God, not men. Okay. Let me say this to you. If I ever choose to please you rather than to please God, please rush to kick me out of here. Let me say that again. If I ever choose to be pleasing to you rather than to God, rush to kick me out of here. Because dear people, an approved messenger of God seeks to please God. Okay? That's how you know a person's approved of God. Because he's seeking to approve God. Because God never changes. He never changes. So you don't have to guess how to please him. I heard in a political campaign once that one candidate was espousing some old ways of doing politics. The new candidate said, you know, I've heard that. There's nothing new in that. There's nothing new in that. Well, dear people, in the message that I have to share with you as an approved messenger of God, there's nothing new in what I have to say to you. Nothing new. But it needs to be reiterated time and time again because we tend to forget the message. And we begin to adopt and to embrace other kinds of messages which really are an affront to God. Really are an affront to God. So you don't have to know how to please God because he never changes. How come we choose to try and please God in different ways? And then finally, you never have to wonder if his thoughts, feelings, or standards have changed. His thoughts, feelings, or standards never change. Never change. So the same way that the apostles in the New Testament chose to please God is the same way that you and I need to choose to please God. We may be living in different times with different circumstances, but the principles of pleasing God remain the same. Remain the same. In an illustration site that I found, it said this: I really cannot give you the formula for success, but I can give you the formula for failure. It's this: try to please everyone. Can't do it. Can't please everyone. So if you can't please everyone, then at least seek to please God. Let him be the one that you bring pleasure to. So the honor of being an approved messenger of God is high. It's high. Number two, the glory of being entrusted with the good news. You, as an approved messenger of God, are entrusted. He trusts you with the good news. The good news is something great. Vince, on the video, that gal at the end that was being baptized, she was the one that was part of the team, your team, but the team from the Philippines, but she was part of your team to do the mission. And she was led to the Lord by Danae. She was part of the team, but she was led to the Lord by Danae. And she got baptized before the mission was over. There was a change in her life. Tremendous change in her life. And now she is entrusted with the good news. One of the things that I heard last Sunday night that really helped her to come to that point of giving her life to Christ was that she saw other people entrusted with the good news and how they lived their lives. And it made an impact. If I remember correctly, this gal at a previous time when Vince went on mission, she was one of those that was real resistant. But over time, as she was exposed to those entrusted with the good news, things began to change. I want to say this to you. If there is good news, then there is bad news. If there is good news, there is bad news. The bad news is this. There is a hell. And rejection of Jesus Christ earns you hell. Okay? Rejection of Jesus Christ earns you hell. Hell is real. Jesus came to set us free. He came to forgive us of all of our sins. In order for him to do that, First of all, he had to come and live a perfect life, because he had to be an unblemished sacrifice. He couldn't have had just one sin. One sin would have ruined it. He had to come and live an unblemished life and a perfect life. Secondly, he had to willingly go to the sacrificial altar, so to speak. Someone once told me this: all of us need to place ourselves on the sacrificial altar. But the problem with us being placed on the sacrificial altar is the same problem with all living sacrifices. They try to squirm off the altar, right? How many of you tried to squirm off the altar of sacrifice, where we come to that point of saying, Lord, I submit to you. Lord, whatever you want, I'll do. The good news is that Jesus died, but he didn't remain dead. He rose again to forgive us of our sins and to gain us entry into heaven. That's the good news. There's bad news out there. Thank goodness Jesus came to bring the good news. And because we are entrusted messengers with an approved message, we have that message to share with people around us, that you don't have to buy into the bad news. The good news is being offered to you. All it takes is your acceptance to that. And then the God entrusts the good news to all of us. Do you know? Do you realize that if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God has entrusted to you the good news? Let me say that again. If you proclaim to be a Christian, you proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life, God trusts you with the good news. He does. He wants you to live it out. So we're given the responsibility of living out the good news. Not the bad news, but to live out the good news. We're given the responsibility not only to live it out, but to share it and to spread it. To share it and to spread it. You know, God has blessed us with this facility here. Wouldn't you agree? He's given us something that we've been working on for some 13 years to get here. And it's a blessing, isn't it? Let me say this to you. I said this last week, but I want to say this to you again. He has given us, God has given us, everything we need. Not everything we want, but he's given us everything we need. I bet our children would want out here to have Sunday school class where the dust doesn't blow up their nose and into their mouth, and the wind prevents them from having being able to do their craft projects, because the wind blows everything away. I bet Clarice would want to have a better office space than the storage area back here. I bet Darren would rather have an established office rather than setting up office in the sound booth during the week. For me, I'm fine being a nomad and wandering wherever there's a space. We don't have everything we need. Oh, excuse me. We don't have everything we want, but we certainly have everything we need. Dear people, the same thing is true for you. As an approved messenger of God, you have everything you need. Maybe not everything you want, but you have everything you need. God has gifted you with everything you need. And therefore, we can't be waiting around until we get what we think we need in order to be that messenger that God wants us to be. Let me tell you this. Some of the most powerful Christians in the world are brand new Christians. Those who have recently, very recently, come to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're some of the most powerful Christians in the world. Well, what about those who have been Christians 30, 40, 50 years? I was in a church once, and there was a guy who was really excited because he had just accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And one of the older members of the church kind of smiled at him and said, that's all right. Pretty soon you're going to be just like us. And I thought to myself, oh, no, Lord. May he never become like us. May he inspire us and light the fire under us so that we have the vitality that he has. Dear people, don't wait around until you got everything that you want in order for you to be the person, the servant of God that you think you need to be. Begin to utilize what God has already given to you. Let me read this illustration to you from a guy by the name of Reverend James Brown from Evangeline Baptist Church in Louisiana. He said this, "There is no situation I can get into that God cannot get me out of. Some years ago, when I was learning to fly, my instructor told me to put the plane into a steep and extended dive. I was so totally unprepared for what was about to happen. After a brief time, the engine stalled and the plane began to plunge out of control. It soon became evident that the instructor was not giving me any help at all. After a few seconds, which seemed like an eternity, my mind began to function." Any of you ever, you go into a panic and mind just goes blank? He's dead. "I quickly corrected the situation. Immediately, I turned to the instructor and began to vent my fear and frustrations on him. He very calmly said to me, 'There is no position you can get this airplane into that I cannot get you out of. If you want to learn to fly, go up there and do it again.'" At that moment, God seemed to be saying to me, "Remember this. As you serve me, there is no situation you can get yourself into that I cannot get you out of. If you trust me, you will be all right." That lesson has been proven true in my ministry for many, many years. You need to be willing to put yourself into a position. It might be precarious. It might be really spooky. But you're never going to be put in a position that God can't get you out of. So don't be afraid of what's out there. I'm an introvert. I'm scared of everything. But I'm learning this lesson that I can put myself into situations where I'm in utter fear and I may fail. But God is there. He's never going to let me fall. I'm never going to be in a position where he can't get me out of. I've experienced that over and over again. The last point I want to bring to you is this. We need to understand the privilege of living with purpose. I put out my phone because my phone is my clock. That clock over there, it glares right at the point where I can't really tell what time it is. So I want to get you out on time. So I'm not playing with my phone. I'm just trying to keep track of the time, okay? God won't put me into a situation that he can't get me out of, okay? So third point, the privilege of living with purpose. You know, dear people, there is high privilege in living with purpose. Takes the guess out of things, and you can begin to move the way that you really should. If we're going to live with purpose, I want to tell you this. Utilize this. Live to please God. Live to please God. You don't need to please anybody else. Please God. But let me tell you this. In my marriage, this works because I try to put God first. And I truly want to be pleasing unto God more than I desire to be pleasing unto Clarice. Clarice and I have been married for how long now, Clarice? See, I told you I'm living to please God, not Clarice. Most women would get really upset that I just forgot how many years we've been married. But we've been married, this year is going to be 42 years. My memory came back. 42 years we've been married. But I can tell you this. You guys know something I don't. I can tell you this. The more I turn myself to loving Jesus, the better husband he makes me. I want to tell you this. The more you throw yourself into loving Jesus, the better person you're going to be. Whether it's going to be as an employee or an employer, the Lord will make you better at it. He will make you live up to all of your responsibilities in the finest fashion possible. You need to live to please Him, not others. And invariably, you're going to please others by living to please Him. You need to share His love with others. Don't be afraid of people intimidating you and saying, that's not allowed here. You need to get to the point of realizing that your priority in life is to share Jesus. How many of you think this world's getting worse and worse and worse? Okay, quite a number of you. I got a solution, and it's a surefire solution. The solution is this. All of us who claim to be Christians, share Jesus and His love with those around us, even your enemies. Share Him with your enemies. The best way to treat an enemy is to turn him into a friend, and the best way to turn your enemy into a friend is by being a friend to them. The best friend shares the best things with his friend. The best thing you've got. I don't know all of your situation, but I guarantee you, as a Christian, the best thing you've got is Jesus. Share Jesus with people. And finally, live to love Him and to fellowship with Him. Sometimes we run from Him. And that's the wrong thing to do, dear people. We need to be running to Him. I find real heartache when I've got members of the church who are going through really difficult times, and what they do is they run away from the church until they've got everything worked out. That is so foolish, dear people. That is so foolish, because God desires you to run to Him in the times of greatest trial, not from Him. And the church is the bride of Christ. This, the church, is so important that Jesus says, "This is my bride, someone precious to Him." Therefore, through the bride can come the greatest benefits to an individual going through difficult times. Run to the church. Run to Christ rather than from the church and from Christ during those times. Yearn to love Him and to have fellowship with Him, not only in the good times, but especially during the hard times. He can lift you up when no one else and nothing else can. He can lift you up. Don't run from Him. I want to share something with you. I want to share a video with you. And Clarice, when I start getting back up, you end the video, okay? But I want to share a video with you. A man that I have come to understand is living out his purpose. He's living to please God. He's living to share the love of Christ with those around him. And he's living, he's yearning to be in fellowship and to just love Jesus. Clarice, can you play that?
I was born in Melbourne, Australia, 1982, and my parents had no idea that I was going to be born without arms or legs. I was the only one that I ever saw without limbs. My faith in Jesus Christ was sealed after 7 years of wondering why, God, I was born this way. He answered me very clearly through John chapter 9, and I gave my life to Jesus at 15 after reading about how he came across a man who was born blind. And I'm like, hey, hold on a second, this looks interesting. And no one knew why he was born that way. I'm like, perfect. So I read on, and in verse 3 of the 9th chapter, Jesus said, it was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him. And I'm like, wow, God, if you had a plan for the blind man, you do have a plan for me. And that was the beginning of my personal relationship with Jesus. Youth groups were starting to call me, churches were starting to call me, opportunities were opening up everywhere for me to share my testimony. I was speaking in front of 300 sophomore public high school students. 3 minutes into it, half the girls were crying. One girl in the middle of the room started weeping. She put up her hand and she said, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but can I come up there and give you a hug? In front of everyone, she came and she hugged me. She cried on my shoulder and whispered in my ear, no one's ever told me that they love me. No one's ever told me that I'm beautiful the way that I am. I couldn't believe it. It changed my life. At that moment, I knew God was ministering to her through me. It's not by my speech or my power, it was God. And my heart was ignited with a passion. And it was an awesome day to see one soul transformed forever. That was when I knew I was called to be a worldwide evangelist.
Today, do not leave here unchanged. Leave here unchanged.
You don't know what God can do with your broken pieces until you give God your broken pieces.
And I
want you to know when you fall down, God's grace is sufficient. God's hand will come down and pick you up. And give you the strength to get back up.
In the first 7 years of ministry, God opened up doors for me to speak 2,000 times across 44 countries on 6 continents, from university campuses, 40,000 students in China, to India, where we're talking to sex slaves, to crowds in the jungle of India, 110,000 people, down to Indonesia and all of Southeast Asia, to speaking at congresses of nations like Colombia and Costa Rica, where you see the leaders of that nation commit that country to the Lord Jesus. To Korea and speaking to the next generation about depression and suicide, and to Eastern Europe, where we did Serbia, Slovenia, and Croatia. And then doors in the Middle East, the message of hope was spread throughout the whole Arab world. That is God. And we know we've just begun. By the grace of God, we have seen face to face 500,000 souls say yes to Jesus and be plugged into a local church. As crazy as it sounds, our goal at Life Without Limbs Ministry is to preach to every single soul on the planet. 7 billion people. We believe that this goal is possible as the Holy Spirit is gathering an army and building up supporters to send us and accomplish this mission. But this all takes support. And yes, I ask for your prayers. Pray for us, pray for our board, pray for our staff and our team. But we could not do this much where we've come this far without the people who financially support us in actively sending us to complete the mission before us. We are praying by faith that the Holy Spirit speaks to you about supporting us and becoming a partner in helping us to accomplish this awesome mission ahead.
God is good
all the time.
All right.
My story is a story of redemption. Help us share it with the world so that others would be free indeed.
Nick Wojcik, a man that needed to find that he was privileged to live with purpose. How can a guy like him accomplish what he's accomplished? You know, he's also a businessman. He conducts real estate business. And then he's also married. And he has two children. How can a guy like that do that? It's because he found the joy and the strength and the power of living to please the Lord, having a desire to share his love, God's love, with everyone around him. And he yearns to love and fellowship with the Lord. You know, he was at the point where he was looking around him and saying, how come everybody else has arms and legs? How come I'm the only one like this? But you know, things had to change when he discovered the joy of living with purpose. He began to quit looking at what he didn't have, and he began to look at what he did have. He had a loving God who loved him so much that he would use Nick for his glory. Nick Wojcik was here in Maui a couple of years ago. He spoke in every high school on Maui, I believe. And then he had a big rally at a War Memorial Gym. First time I saw that there were almost as many people outside of the gym as there were inside of the gym. And he had compassion for those who were outside. So he goes outside of the gym and speaks to them without a microphone. I don't know how you can do that. But when you do what God places before you, you're looking at what he's given to you, not what he hasn't given to you. And dear people, we have a God who gives us so much. You'll find real, unspeakable joy when you live the way he wants you to live. You'll find death and depression if you live apart from him. We need to step up and be the people of God. So those who don't have the promise, those who don't have the joy of Christ, can see Christ in us. And just like that gal who got baptized in the Philippines, all the resistance, all the walls start coming down because they see others who know what it's like to live as a privileged, honored messenger with a great message from our Lord. We're going to ask that we have a word of prayer. And as I lead in prayer, I'm going to ask that our ushers come forward. And I want you, more than giving of your finances to the Lord, I'd like for you to really consider giving your all to him. Don't be concerned about what you don't have. He's given you much. Give him what he asks of you. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, in my own life, I know what it is to cower in fear. I know what it is to feel like, Lord, I have nothing to give to you. But Lord, I also know what it is to submit and to surrender to you. Lord, I pray that we'd all come to know that joy of surrendering to you. If there's someone here today, Father, that has not come to the point of giving their lives to you, of not really being a Christian, Father, I pray that today they won't leave this place until they have come to the point of surrendering their lives to you. Lord, for others who have given their lives to you, but then take it back. Give it to you and then take it back again. Oh, Lord, I pray that we quit the games, Father, and that we'd really just give our all to you. Father, may you have all of us. And Lord, I pray that you use Valley Isle Fellowship not to build a great church, but Lord, to build a great community that would reach all of Maui County, all of the state of Hawaii, the world, Father. A community that loves you and serves you, Father. So, Lord, I pray that you would call each one of us into your kingdom's service. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, and we ask now all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
It is intimate. I feel like moving to the rhythm of the overage. Your fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place. 'Cause your love is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is the love that covers sin. No greater love have I ever. Capture my heart, yeah. Your love is extravagant. Your friendship.
Let me share a secret with you. This morning, I got up early and I came to the church at 5 o'clock because I thought, oh, this place is going to be a mess. And I was really seriously thinking about waking Clarice up and sending you guys all that text on a remind saying church is canceled. I'm so glad I didn't do that because it hasn't rained that much since you've been here. But then I would have missed out. We all would have missed out on this fellowship. God is good. Don't miss out on what he has and wants to give to you. Thank you for being here. God bless you as you go. Seek to love him. Seek to serve him. God bless you.